Now, I want to start today with a couple of quick stories to help us understand where we're going today. The first one is when Kate and I, my lovely wife, first got engaged. I spent a lot of money on a ring that I gave to her. And now, usually, if you know me, I don't like spending money. But on this particular occasion, I had no hesitation whatsoever because I knew then that symbols are really important. And Kate's engagement ring was, and still is, an important symbol of my commitment and my love to her. Now, the second story is that junior kids sport has changed a lot since I was that age of participating in junior sport. And one of the things that kids get today that I never got is the club merchandise. And there's various t-shirts, there's warm-up tops, there's hoodies, there's all sorts of things going on, and they get their name or their nickname written on the back, and it's all really cool, and they just love getting it. It's one of their most favourite things, and often to their frustration, there seems to be considerable delays. You put the order in, and it often doesn't come until halfway through the season, whether it's the footy or netball season or cricket season or whatever. But once they get it, it's pretty much all they wear for the next 6 months or so. Now, I want to say that baptism is a bit like both that engagement ring story and also that branded sports club merchandise story. Baptism is a symbol of our love and our commitment to Jesus. But it also goes something beyond that. Just as a young kid loves wearing that sports merchandise because it gives them a sense of who they are, a sense of identity, this is who I am, this is what's important to me, so too does baptism, so too does following Jesus give us a sense of identity of who we are, that we're loved by Jesus and that we love him back. Today we're in week 3 of a series that we're doing on the sacraments. And the first week that we did, we had a look at communion. At Churches of Christ, we practiced two sacraments. There's communion and baptism. So about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had a look at communion. And then last Sunday, we had a look at baptism. And today I'm continuing on this exploration of what baptism is. So last week when we looked at baptism, we asked two questions. We asked, how should I get baptized? And we looked at the different ways, historically, different churches have conducted baptisms, whether it's a bit of sprinkling or pouring or full immersion baptism. And we also asked the question last week, when should I get baptized? Whether it's as an infant or as an adult, where you've got at an age where you know that you want to follow Jesus and therefore you're making that decision. Now, if you want to catch up on those messages, you can do so at gcfc.org.au and they're up and they're ready to go. But today my focus is on just one question, and that is, why should you get baptized? Why should you get baptized? And there's 4 things that I want to highlight in answering this question around why you should get baptized. And the first one is that it's simple. It's because Jesus did. We get baptized because Jesus did. And we've just seen that in the passage that Naomi read out just a little while ago. Getting baptized, the choice to get baptized, represents a response to the overflow of God's grace in our lives. It's a commitment to love and follow Jesus wherever and whatever that means. It's a commitment to do as he has done, simply to follow him. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all describe in detail the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. John was an older cousin of Jesus, and he took on the role of paving the way for Jesus, preparing the way for the ministry of Jesus. Now, John was a bit of a wild man. We're told that he wore camel's hair for clothes. He ate locusts and wild honey, and he's described as one who came out of the wilderness preaching repentance. Now, I drove to Canberra last weekend. Tom and I went to watch a footy game in Canberra, the things that you do when you follow the Giants. Isn't that right, Tom? And we went up to Canberra, and one of the things, if you've been to Canberra before, you'll know, is that there's lots of roundabouts in Canberra. And it's somewhat of a confusing city to navigate if you're not used to it. And often, not only is there lots of roundabouts, but somehow at these roundabouts, and I'm still not quite sure how this works, but in order to go in a left direction, you somehow have to go right. And in order to go in a right direction, you need to go left. I still haven't worked that out, but that's sort of what happens. And anyway, a number of times over the course of this weekend, we sort of didn't quite get that right. And so I had to go and do a U-turn. And we drive up to the next stop, we do a U-turn. And that's exactly what repentance is. It's doing a U-turn. It's turning from the wrong direction to the right direction. It's turning from selfishness to selflessness. It's turning from sin to salvation. Now, many Jews in John's day came from miles to hear his teaching by the Jordan River. And many of them chose to enter into the waters of baptism as a sign of their repentance, as a sign that they were doing this U-turn with their lives. Now, Jesus comes along, and he's right at the start of his ministry, just starting to gather a few disciples around him. Up until that time, he'd been a carpenter and hadn't really been in public ministry at all, and his ministry is just starting, and he goes to John, and he says, "Baptize me, John," and John's reluctant. Because he knows who Jesus is. And Jesus doesn't need to repent. Because up until that point and continuing on throughout his life, he lived the perfect life. He did nothing wrong. And so John's reluctant, but then Jesus says, "No, I want you to do this." And John eventually agrees. And we're told that as John baptizes Jesus, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and the voice of God rings out saying, "This is my Son whom I am well pleased." The baptism of Jesus marks a really important transition point for Jesus. It was a passing of the baton from John to Jesus, but it was also a transition point for Jesus in his ministry journey, because from that point onwards, he would never return to being a carpenter again. From that point onwards, he would move throughout the Galilean countryside and into Jerusalem, healing the sick, casting out evil spirits, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and inviting people to follow me. Jesus' baptism marks a significant transition point for him in his journey and his ministry. When we decide to get baptized, it marks in our own lives an important transition point. It marks that point where we're acknowledging in our lives that the old ways, they have gone, and that there is a new way that has come, a new way of following Jesus, to do as he did, to love him, to serve others, to be involved in partnering with him in the growth of his kingdom, in whatever that means, in wherever that means. We choose to get baptized because it's simply an act of following Jesus. It's doing as he did. We also choose to get baptized because it's a response to Jesus rescuing us, because Jesus has rescued you. Now, I once had a scary experience on Lake Eildon. I was on a youth camp. I decided we had canoes there, and I decided I'd go out for a paddle on my own. So I'm only a young fella, about 12 years of age, and I'm paddling out. And when I started paddling out, there was no wind. The waters were perfectly calm. And I got out the middle of the lake, and all of a sudden, the winds picked up. I wasn't in sheltered territory anymore, and I was having a great time rowing with the wind and going really fast. And then I turned around to go home, and I discovered I didn't have the strength to paddle against the wind. And then I looked off into the distance to see where my youth leaders and the rest of the youth camp were, and they were packing up the canoes. And they hadn't realized that I was still out in the water. And I started panicking, and I'm paddling even harder, and I'm going as hard as I can. I couldn't make any territory. In fact, I was probably going backwards. And I really started to get stressed at this point as I could see them tying off the canoes and thinking, surely they can't, they see that there's one missing, but they couldn't. Anyway, so I thought, in my panic, I thought, I've got to think about this, think this through. What am I going to do? And I thought, well, if I spend the night out on the lake, that's not good. I need to find shore somehow. At least then, if I'm going to spend the night out in the open, I'll be better off out in the shore than out here on the lake. So I took the current with me, and I managed to sort of paddle across it slightly and get to the shore, very distant, long way away from where the youth leaders were with the rest of the group. And I happened to come across some people there, and I said to them as I'm coming to the shore, look, can you help me out here? I'm with this group. They're miles up the lake there. I can't get back. Are you able to go around in your car and let them know that I'm here and maybe that it would be a good idea to come and get me? And so, fortunately, these people agreed, and off they drove. And then in the distance, I saw two adult, I saw them go and meet these two youth leaders on this camp. And I can remember just miles away in the distance seeing the look and the panic, realizing what had happened. And so these two leaders got into their canoes, one in each canoe, and they paddled out to where I was. They collected me. One of them hopped in the boat with me, and with the adult in the canoe, were able to make it all the way back to shore. Sometimes we think that we can rescue ourselves from our own sin. But in reality, there is less hope in being able to rescue ourselves than what a 12-year-old boy has paddling against a strong wind. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, don't get baptized to somehow earn your way to God. You can't do that. You get baptized because God has already paid the way for you. Jesus paid a great price when he stretched out his arms on the cross. In fact, he paid the ultimate price, allowing himself to die an agonizing death so that we can be rescued. It's one of the greatest and most profound truths of our faith that Jesus allowed himself to suffer an agonizing death. He allowed himself to be separated from his Father in order that the separation that existed between us and God is no longer. We are rescued. Jesus has rescued you from sin. He's rescued you from a life of fruitlessness, a life without meaning. He's rescued you from hate. We are rescued into freedom. We are rescued into his purpose. We are rescued into his forever love and his presence. When we go into the waters of baptism and then come out of them again, it highlights the amazing work that Jesus has achieved through his death on the cross, of death conquered and of new life granted. We get baptized because he's rescued us. We also get baptized because we want to live for Jesus. We've made that decision in our hearts that our life is going to be directed towards him and that we want to live for his purposes and plans. We want to live for Jesus. Sally Pearson, Australia's greatest ever hurdler, retired about a week ago. Had a long run of injuries over the last couple of years. Tends to happen to elite athletes as they get to a certain age. And so she's made the decision to retire after an amazing career, which included winning gold medals at the Olympic Games and World Championships. Now, in the athletics fraternity, Pearson's commitment to her training is legendary. There were not many sessions that she would complete without vomiting. Such was the pain and torture that she'd put her body through. In the last few years of her career, she coached herself and pushed herself to this point regularly to continue training. And it was her ability to push herself beyond this level of exhaustion that made her such a great athlete, that made her be able to achieve what she could. Now, any high-level elite athlete has to demonstrate a total commitment to their goals. And for them, their sport is all that they live for. It's their sole focus and their absolute focus. When we make a decision to follow Jesus, it's a decision to live completely for him. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ," hidden with Christ in God. Now, this idea of being hidden in Christ is actually a very powerful idea because it's a result of God's grace that we're hidden in Christ. And it's a decision that we're making that says we're no longer living for our own needs. We're no longer living for our own purposes. Rather, we're living for Christ. We're serving Him. We're blessing others in Jesus' name. We're sharing the love of Christ with words and with actions wherever we go. What we're saying when we get baptized is we're saying to Jesus, I no longer want to be in control of my life. I'm surrendering to you. Jesus is in control. You're saying, I'm not an independent person anymore. I'm dependent on a Jesus who I know loves me. Now, to some, this doesn't sound all that attractive because we're wired in our society today to be independent. In fact, it's a value that's held up, a really good value, this idea of being independent and self-reliant. And what our society would say to us is that the more self-reliant we are, the more independent we are, then somehow the happier and more content and fulfilled we'll be with our lives. But there's this really interesting paradox that happens when we do the opposite to that and we place our dependence totally on Jesus. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, there's this really brief little parable. It's just one verse, known as the hidden treasure parable. Now, Jesus spoke of the kingdom of heaven in this parable as being like a hidden treasure in the field. And an individual came along this field and they found this hidden treasure. And so what they did is that they sold everything that they had, all of their possessions, so that they could go and buy the field, knowing that even though it was costing them everything that they ever had, that they were getting far more back in return. You know, there's always going to be a cost in following Jesus, in letting Jesus be in control. But like that hidden treasure in the field, it is worth every penny. Because what we receive in return is something of such great value that it can't even be calculated. Living in His blessing, living in His plan, in His purpose, resting in His love, experiencing His grace, His presence. You cannot put a value on that. When you get baptized, you do so because you're choosing, you want to live for Jesus every day. Last reason today why you should get baptized is because you like a party. Because you like a party. Now, my kids love parties. In fact, they've had parties over the last few weekends. It seems like every weekend there's a party. Money's getting handed over all the time. I said, I don't like spending money. Oh, I'm happy to spend money on my kids' friends. But, you know, actually, no, I'm not. Let's be honest about it. It's very expensive. Anyway, that's what the point I was making. My kids love a party. They like the games. They like having their friends over or being with their friends. They like eating cake. They like the lolly bags when they get them. They like the sleepovers when they have them. It's all fantastic. Parties are wonderful. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it says, in the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, we're not 100% sure what a party in heaven actually looks like. But we do know that whenever someone gets baptized, whenever someone's putting their hand up and saying, I repent, I need Jesus in my life, there's a party that happens. The angels in heaven throw this party. There's great joy. We don't know what it's like, but I reckon from what we know of heaven in the Bible, a party in heaven would be a pretty good party. Now, if you like to have a party, why not then be the cause of a heavenly party? When you get baptized, God's heart leaps for joy. His heart leaps for joy over a sinner who's repenting, over someone that says, Jesus, I want you to be in control. God's heart leaps with joy. And when that happens, something happens in our own spirit. I reckon we feel it. I reckon we sense it. God's heart leaping for joy over us. When we please Him, when we obey Him, when we honor Him, we receive this joy ourselves in our own hearts. And I want to finish up today by, I guess, talking to perhaps a very common objection that people have to getting baptized. And it's heard in statements such as, I'm not ready yet, or I'm not good enough yet. Or when I'm top of this area of my life, I'm going to get baptized, but until I am, I'm not going to. There's this great story, something like 1,400 years before Jesus came along, of the Israelites, and they're about to enter the promised land. They've spent 40 long years wandering through the desert, being led by Moses. Moses has passed away, and Joshua, their new leader, is leading them to the promised land. And just before they get to the promised land, the Jordan River is there, the very same river which Jesus was baptized in some 1,400 years later. And they get to the shores of the Jordan River, and it's in flood. We're told in Joshua chapter 3 that it's deep, it's wide, and there's no way that they can cross. But the Israelites know that they're about to enter into the promised land that God has promised for them. It's a land of blessing, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that they get to call their own, something, a land that they get to call their own for the very first time in their history. And they get to the shores of the Jordan and they see that there's no way to cross. It's too wide, it's too deep, it's in flood. And the priests are there and they're out the front of the Israelites and they're carrying what's called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was that which contained God's presence while the Israelites are on the move, and they're carrying that along, and they get to the shores of the Jordan, and the priest at the front, they put their feet in the water, and the waters part, and all the Israelites, something like 2 million of them, we think, walk through the Jordan River into the promised land. But the waters didn't part until their feet got wet. You see, getting baptized is as much a step of faith as anything else. There's some people here today that need to put some of their fears and their doubts about this to one side. They need to get their feet wet. They need to step into the waters of baptism because the decision in their heart is that I just want to follow Jesus. I don't even know if I can do it, but I know that that's what I want to do. And my heart says, yes, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to put my feet in the water. And when that happens, the miracle unfolds in your life, the miracle of God's grace. Because you make that decision with the heart and God makes up the rest. His forgiveness, His freedom, His fullness of life. I think it's time for some people to get their feet wet. And the rest of their bodies too. On the 15th of September, we're having a baptism service. It's going ahead because we already have people that have said they want to be baptized. So that's the good news. I don't want to preach on this day. I want there to be enough baptisms that that becomes the message. The testament of faith of what God is doing in the midst of our church, in our lives. I want to ask the worship team to come forward now. If you would like to make that decision today, that yes, I want to get baptized, and up on the screen behind me is one way in which you can let me know that you're making that decision. My phone number's up on the screen, and if you would like to get baptized, you can simply text me on that phone number, say, I would like to get baptized, and let me know what your name is in case I don't have your phone number in my contact books. You could do that. The other way is just to come up after the service and see me and let me know in person, which is what someone did last week, which is really fantastic. So do that as well if you would like to get baptized. But whatever way you want to let me know, let us know that, yeah, that's my decision. I want to follow Jesus with everything I've got. We're going to finish today with a really appropriate song. It's called Scandal of Grace. And there's a line in this song. It's called Forever the Hope in My Heart. Forever the Hope in My Heart. It's a line that sings and that speaks to what Jesus has done. It's a line that speaks to why we get baptized. Why we make that decision to say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Because He's our forever hope. He's our forever presence. He loves us forever. And he's going to spend forever with us. Let's all stand and sing Scandal of Grace. Coming in under his grace and saying, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus for all of my days with all I've got.